As you remain standing with me, I have Brother Jeremy, Brother Tyson are going to hand out these blue cards. This is our legacy offering card. One per family. One per family. Young people, you can take one if you want. But please, if you pledge, give it unto the Lord. Or you can let your parents represent your family and discuss it with them. That's at your discretion. But otherwise, one per family. We do have pens if you don't have a pen. Please do not fill this out yet. You can put your name. But don't put, I think Sister Kim has some pens. Please do not fill in the amount yet until the end. I know that you've been praying. I've been praying. The Lord woke me up yesterday at 5:45 in the morning. And I know that's a wow. God really wanted to talk to me. And began to deal with me about tonight's, the significance of this service, what it means for our church. I want to explain this card as you get it, just like our faith promise card. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Proverbs 13:22. That's a legacy. It says, as a member of Wallace Ridge Pentecostal Church, I cheerfully and willfully pledge my financial support by contributing in the 2022 legacy offering. I pledge the following amount. Now, I'm going to explain this as thoroughly as I can. It has a line for amount. And it has monthly or one time. So if I want to give a one-time offering of $1,200, I would check one time and my amount. I'm just using a number because it's easy to divide 1,200 by 12. And I would put one time 1,200. Y'all with me? If I wanted to give a monthly offering, I would divide 1,200 by how many months? Because it's not to the end of the calendar year. It's to the next time we do our offering, which is usually May. That's 12 months. And I would put my amount, $100, then I would check monthly. That means I'm going to give $100 a month. Y'all with me? If I want to just give an amount whenever I want, just put your amount, and then that's between you and God as to how you give it. Does that make sense? Now, I want you to know this. Once we tally up these cards, I don't ever look at them again. If you held a gun to my head and said, tell me how much somebody pledged, I'd just have to make something up. Then ask God to forgive me before you killed me. We lock them up in the safe, and that's between you and the Lord. We don't keep track of how much you owe. This is not us. We're not sending out statements of how much you got left on your ballots. This is a pledge between you and the Lord, or an offering. This is used for Wallace Ridge at the discretion of the pastor. And I think that I've proven that I have Wallace Ridge at heart. A majority of this will go towards our dorm, which we'll have more updates on that. But a majority of this. But there's some things that is at the pastor's discretion as needed. But I can promise you, it's for the benefit of Wallace Ridge and the kingdom of God right here, okay? Thank you for your trust, and we'll talk more about this. Let's turn our attention to the book of Exodus, chapter number 11, verse 1, and the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence together. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Exodus 25, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold, silver, brass. For the sake of time, I won't read all of it, but it's talking about the skins and all of the supplies that would be needed to build the tabernacle. For the next few moments, I want to preach on what the Lord laid upon my heart for this particular service on the economy of the kingdom. The economy of the kingdom. Would you lift your hands toward heaven right now? Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, we need the help of the Holy Ghost for this service. God, I know that your people have been praying. They've been seeking you diligently. You've been speaking to their hearts. I pray, God, that you would minister once again throughout the remainder of this service and give us faith to step out and to obey the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Amen. Lord bless you as you're seated. As we cross the 2-year mark of a pandemic, none of us would have ever expected that it would last this long. Just going to be honest, using myself, when they said shut down for 2 weeks, they could have told that sounded like for 20 years to me. You telling me to sit in my house? I love family, and I know you love family. I didn't say it, Brother Black did. He said, that's enough. 2 weeks, and here we are 2 years later. While we know that many families have been touched by death in some form or fashion due to COVID, I believe that I'm safe in saying that every family has been affected somehow as it pertains to our economy. Inflation touches every pocketbook. Gas reaches record highs. The strain on the finances has been felt by millions, if not billions, of people around the world. But what amazes me the most about the past 2 years is how it has affected the church. Because many would think that the church would suffer because the world is suffering. Even as a Louisiana district, they have given their reports, and one would think that offerings would be down. But can I tell you today that nearly every pastor that I know has reported increases in their offerings and in their givings. And our district has experienced record offerings. Logic cannot explain it, but hear me when I say that God's church is not in danger. God's church is not going to go under. The government cannot destroy it. A pandemic cannot wipe it out. Inflation cannot cripple it. The Bible says, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not destroy the church. Let the world's economy collapse. You better rest assured that the economy of the kingdom is going to thrive. God has always had a way of taking care of his church. The economy of the kingdom operates in a most unique way. And we can glean from our text principles that give us insight as to how it was designed to work. In our text, we know that Israel, the Hebrews, were enslaved for over 400 years to the Egyptians. Egypt was a representation of the world. It was prosperous. Moses knew what Egypt was all about, raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He knew what that world was, and he knew all of the precious things that were in the world as it pertained to worldly possessions. And they were in bondage to Egypt or the world. And he tells Moses, I'm about to send one final plague. And when this plague hits them, they're going to thrust you out. This is going to be the one, Moses, that's going to turn the heart of Pharaoh. It's going to be the last finger pressed against the chest of Pharaoh. If you study out the 10 plagues, those 10 plagues were actually God's way of showing them that the 10 gods that they worshiped, that he was greater than their gods. And he said, Moses, when I get ready to hit this last plague, you better be ready with the Passover. You better have the blood in place because they're going to thrust you out. But before this happens, I want you to go tell them to get things from their neighbors. You get jewels. You get precious things. You get things you borrow from their neighbor because God had a plan in place. He says, speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold, because God understood there's coming a time, there's coming a place that I'm going to build a tabernacle, and I've got to have the resources from the world to accomplish the work of the kingdom. And so when they take it, now it seems so odd that if you're fixing to pack, if you're fixing to leave, you wouldn't want a big load. And I'm sure they had no idea, why in the world are we getting all this stuff from the world? We're trying to pack light, and he's telling us to get more. But it's because he had a plan in place. It's because this is a type of economy of the kingdom. And the point in time comes when God tells Moses, now it's time to build a tabernacle. And Moses, maybe it didn't make sense to you when I told you to tell them to bring the resources from Egypt, to bring the resources from the world. But now it's all going to make sense because I'm going to build a tabernacle. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to give you the instructions. And then you're going to use what you got from the world to build my tabernacle. You're going to use the resources in the world to build what I want you to build. And he says in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Watch this. Why in the world did God say, of every man that giveth it willingly? Because he knew people would get attached to the stuff. The enemy of generosity is greed. It wasn't theirs to belong with. They got it from the world. But over a period of time and transition, they took ownership of what wasn't theirs to begin with. God gave it to them for the sole purpose of building his kingdom. Yet he knew the heart of men would get greedy with what God gave them. Ooh, this gold is beautiful. All of these jewels and all of this linen, oh, this is beautiful. I think I'll keep that for myself. It wasn't theirs to belong with. It was given to them to build the kingdom of God. People get attached. If I asked you to watch a dog for a month, at the end of the month, you'd say, I just love this dog. If you ever want to get rid of it, I'll take it. That's what people do. They get attached to stuff that is not theirs. If I left something at your house and I come back a year later, you would try to hold on to it, even though it wasn't yours, because you got attached to it. And we do the same thing in the world. God lets us go out into the world. And he blesses us with things that was not ours to begin with. Because he wants to use them in his kingdom to build his kingdom. And then we get attached to it. And we start getting greedy with it. Luke 12:15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Greed and coveting are used synonymously in the Bible. And we have got to remember, listen to what I'm fixing to say, that nothing we have in our possession was ours to begin with. We start thinking we can't live without stuff. I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to give you a poll here. How many people can remember before you had a cell phone? All right. How many remember before pagers came out? All right. How many can you lived without the internet? Now, I've just proven to you that we can live without what we think we have to have. Because the majority of the people in here raised your hands to at least one of those questions. And I think you turned out just fine. But we start thinking, can't live without it. I got to have my cell phone. I got to have the internet. And we start thinking, I can't live without it. And so what happens, it goes something like this. You start building and accumulating in life, and you start watching numbers grow in your bank account. And you get used to seeing those numbers. And then you start going, oh, God, Lord, you're telling me to give. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. Let me tell you why I can live with no money. Because I can tell you what it's like to have all zeros in my bank account. I can tell you what red looks like in my bank account. I can tell you what it sounds like to pray and say, God, if you don't do this, it's not going to get done. Many times as an evangelist and as a youth pastor, if God didn't do it, it wasn't going to get done. And so when zero is the ceiling, not the floor, I know one person said, somebody told me one time, if my checking account just gets below $20,000, I just don't know what I'm going to do. What? Where do you live? That's like tax refund. Times three. But we start thinking we've got to have all of our stuff because we get our self-worth from dollar signs and things, because that's what the world paints. And listen, God never said you got to take a vow of poverty when you start serving him. And God blesses with material things. Yes, he does. But could it be that God has given you resources from the world so he can use you to flow and to direct them to the kingdom, to build his kingdom? That's how the economy of the kingdom works. How much you tithe is not a sign of how generous you are. Zero. Tithing is not a sign of generosity. It's a sign of obedience. God said, I'm going to give a percentage, a tenth, or that's a fraction, but it's 10%. Because it's going to be equal across the board. It doesn't matter how much you earn. That's going to be the same. Because tithing is obedience unto God, returning what was already his. Offerings is where God says, now I get to see how generous you really are. Tithing is obedience. Offerings is an indicator of generosity. And it is what you give in correlation to what you possess. You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. If one man has $1,000 in his bank account, and he feels to give $500 to God. He gave half of what he possessed in regards to money. If a man over here has $100,000 in his bank account and feels to give $500, who do you think gave more? The one that gave half of what they had. Jesus even used that in Scripture when the woman gave two mites, and he looked at him and said, hey, she gave more than all of y'all. It wasn't about the amount she put in the offering plate. It was what she gave compared to what she possessed. And so when God moves upon us, it's up to us to obey what we feel. And you got to watch this. When you give, it's between you and God. Period. Period. I don't need to tell you what I give. It's between me and God. You don't need to tell other people what you give. Because what happens is then your motives start getting mixed up. And then you start giving because you want people to know what you give. And it's wrong. Your motives are wrong. Don't you realize out of all of these Israelites that left Egypt, some had more gold and stuff in their possession than others did? They didn't all leave with the same amount. So when it came time to bring it to their offering, some brought more than others brought. But it all came together to build the kingdom. And one man may make $10 an hour. Another man may make $20 an hour. One may make $50 an hour. But God says, you bring me what I lay on your heart willingly, and it's all going to come together for the kingdom of God. That was the requirement. They must have a willing heart. So this is what happened in Exodus 35. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So here is some principles I want to glean. And I'm moving fast because I've got a lot. The tabernacle they were building would not pay them monetary gains, but it would offer salvation for their family. They were establishing a legacy for their future. Here's what I want you to know in regards to your offering. If you don't want it, God wants it. But if you want it, God doesn't want it. Everything you pick up through life tries to attach itself to you. And we get so much stuff. God is not against us having stuff. He's against stuff having us. And if you get so attached to the resources God has given you, you take ownership. Don't you realize some of those Israelites kept what they brought from the world and they didn't bring it to the tabernacle to build? It said, whosoever's of a willing heart. So what God was saying is this: if they want it, I don't want it. But if they're not attached to it and they don't want it, I want it. And God's looking at what he has blessed us with, and he's saying, if you're so attached to it that you just can't let it go, I don't want it. Keep it. But if you're not attached to it, I want it, because I'm going to use it to build my kingdom. It's not about the stuff. Giving is not a stuff issue. It's a heart issue. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me tell you, the people that I've learned give the most are the ones that never forgot where God brought them from. It's those that can think back on how good God has been to them and where God has blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. And they realize that they would not be in their position that they're in had it not been for the hand of God upon their life. And they don't take ownership of it. They're stewards of what God has blessed them with. You cannot look at an offering as what you lost, but rather what you'll gain. Everything about the world, the economy of the world, is measured by profit and losses. It's black or red. It's up and down. It's volatile. It costs time. It costs money. It costs material. But you cannot look at the economy of the kingdom the same way as the economy of the world. Because if you look at what you give as an expense, then you'll never embrace the fullness of what God has given you. Because what God gives us in return cannot be measured by the mind. Because you cannot measure mercy, and you cannot measure grace, and you cannot measure salvation, and you cannot measure healing. You cannot measure deliverance. My friend, you could give God everything you have, and I can promise you that God has given you more than what you could ever bring to Him. Just the fact that you're going to make it to heaven and your family. Stand with me right now. I don't understand this concept of giving God less after He already blessed what you once gave Him. I don't understand it. If God has, let me just use a number. If I once gave $1,000 a year to a special offering, and all my bills were paid, and God took care of me, and God blessed me, and I made it just fine, why would I want to give God less when He already proved Himself on what I gave before? Why would I want to decrease when God's already shown me that I'll carry you through it? I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. And maybe you don't remember, but you know what you gave last year. I don't know what you gave last year. You might remember. But I'm going to promise you this. If you made it after you gave that, you give that again, I promise you, you'll make it. Or maybe the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, why don't you challenge me? It's the only time in the Word of God when God says, prove me, is when it comes to our money. I want musicians to come. I want you to take this card, whoever's in the family that has the card. We're going to pray. The Lord already impressed upon me, and I believe in God for a record offering. I've learned not to even come up and report it because it's always more than what I say, and then I feel like I'm lying, even though I'm not lying. At the time, that was the number. So it's not about whatever the total comes out to be. It's about whatever you do in obedience to what God is laying upon your heart. I want us to bow our heads right now. I'm going to begin to pray. I would ask every head bowed, every eyes closed. I'm as serious as I've ever been right now because the Lord is trying to talk to people. And your first inclination is to say, no, this is not God. Trust me. I did it at 5:45 in the morning yesterday. But I know when the Holy Ghost is speaking because I fight it so hard because my flesh wants to say no while the Spirit is trying to say yes. I'm telling you and prophesying in the Holy Ghost as I begin to pray, you might want to keep you a journal because God has assured me that there is going to be unprecedented financial provision. There is going to be raises come out of nowhere that you didn't ask for. It's going to happen. There's going to be opportunity for money to come your way that you did not know was going to be there. You're going to start keeping a record of all of the times God has proven Himself financially. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Lord, this great group of people is wanting to build a legacy for their family, for their children, for Wallace Reeds, for Catahoula Parish. I know, God, that You have blessed us in the world. But the whole point of what You give us in the world is so we can bring it to establish and to build the church. the kingdom of God. It's the economy of the kingdom.